Depression helps when you are serious. Okay. What I would like to do today, really, is a little bit more from Perek Lamed Aleph. We didn't finish Perek Lamed Aleph last time, and the reason why I'm choosing to do a little bit more of it today is because it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and this specific aspect which he's speaking about here is an aspect which is fitting and appropriate to Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you remember last time, we learned he was talking about the fact that the yearning for Geula is not something which is unique to the Jewish people. The yearning for Geula is also something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for. And much of the discussion was around, you know, the Gemara where we found HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying, so, you know, it was wailing, who can release me from my vow to send the Jewish people into Golos. So it shows that Hashem is regretting it as well as many other sources which he brought to show this idea. Certainly yesterday we read in the Torah, V'shav Hashem Elokecha es shivuscha. So Rashi brings what Chazal say. It doesn't say V'heshiv, and Hashem will bring back your captives, but it says, and Hashem will return, which can be understood as Hashem himself will return with the captives. Because when Klal Yisrael is in Golos, Hashem is in Golos too. And the idea that the way the Maral described it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, created the world to operate with a certain goal, with a certain seder, with a certain ordering of how the world is supposed to be, how the world is supposed to look. And when the Jewish people are in Golos, then something is awry. As he's established in the beginning of Israel, the people not in the place that they're supposed to be. Certainly, when you're dealing with Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash and its non-existence, lack of revelation of Hashem's presence in the world, so it's something is out of whack. And therefore, something is out of whack in Hashem's world, in Hashem's world as He created it, in Hashem's world as He wanted it, and He very, very much is anxious to see that set straight. That's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for the end of the goal. So He wants that to be set straight. But the Maral continues. And really, we can. What we're going to do, Lemir Tashem, today, in the time that we have, is we're going to focus on two pieces. We're going to focus first on just the Maral's final aside. I don't want to say it's an aside, but final sort of just comment on this idea. And then on a specific Gemara, which he brings from Sanhedrin, where we're not going to focus as much on the Maral's comments on it. He speaks, I get somewhat into more detail than usual in terms of a Shakla Vitaria, but on the issue itself, both things which are very relevant for where we are in the calendar right now. Okay. Maral writes, if you're using the Hartman edition, it's on the bottom of Tofresh Hey. V'chein hagolus hu nimshach achar hachet. Right? The principle he established here again is that Mikra does not last. Right? Golos can't last because something which is mikra, something which is incidental, which is not the way it's supposed to be, it's just a deviation from the norm, can't last. Things have to somehow slide back into their natural situation. So he says, you also have to recognize, besides for the fact that golos in itself is something which is, you know, there's something wrong with it, right, that the Jewish people are not in the right place, but golos comes from chet, Yisrael. It comes from the failings of the Jewish people. As we'll say in the Musaf, not only on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but on every Yontiv, u'mipnei chato'einu golinu me'arteinu, because of our sins we went into golos. No question. V'im heim oimdim b'chetam, hinei ha'golos nitzchi lahem. If Klal Yisrael would remain entrenched in their sins, so then, heaven forbid, they would remain eternally entrenched in the golos. But haloi gam dover ze einoi. But that also can't be. Why? Ki bevadai hachet li Yisrael gam kein mikre. Because chet for the Jewish people is also considered to be mikre. Is also considered something that just happens, but not something essential or normal. Kasher hispoer. Vim kein gam dover ze yefshe shi yekayim nitzi. Ki etzem Yisrael mitar atzam rum shi yu beloichet. The Jewish people essentially are supposed to be without sin. And he references that he's discussed this many times before, And he says, as you know, Iker ha-chet hu yitziya min ha-seder. Chet. The term chet, you know what it actually means? It means a deviation. It means a deviation. La-hachti es ha-matara is to miss the target, to be off target. Right? That's, huh?
It was chasar, meaning nohi ha-katera.
It's the same concept.
Missing.
Same concept, missing something. You know, either off or lacking. I'm reading Tuf Reish Vav. The mikra, that which is incidental, cannot persist. Okay, so this idea is a very, very chashuva idea. Happens to be, I don't know if anybody was at Shal Shudas yesterday. Let me hear Shal Shudas yesterday here, but I spoke about this a little bit at Shal Shudas yesterday. So I'm glad nobody was here, so you won't be bored.
I heard about it.
You heard about it, right? In yesterday's Parsha, in Parsha's Nitzavim, the Pasuk says that V'shafta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kayle. It says, with all the difficulties that the Jewish people will experience, with all the difficulties that the Jewish people would experience, so it says that Hayavai ki avayu alecha ladvar ma'il abrocha v'aklal asher nasati l'fanecha asher vayisel vavecha, and you will take to heart, or shall take to heart, b'chol ha'goyim asher edicha Hashem alekecha shama, v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, and you will return to Hashem your God, or you shall return to Hashem your God, v'shamata b'kayle, and you will listen to His voice, like everything that I'm commanding to you today. V'shav Hashem alekecha shvuscha, and Hashem will bring back your captives, v'chamecha, and He'll have mercy upon you, etc. And He'll gather you from all the nations that you have been dispersed amongst. So the pasuk is ambiguous. When the Pasuk is saying this, is the Pasuk providing you with some kind of a narrative? There's another term for it in English, but I'm just in grammar, but I don't remember it exactly. Is it providing you with something of the predictive narrative, and it's saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be amongst the nations, and you're going to take to heart what's going on, what happened, and you will do tshuva. Or is the Pasuk giving you an imperative and saying, look, when all this happens, you know what you've got to do? You've got to take this to heart. And I'm telling you, you should return to Hashem your God. And when you return to Hashem your God, then Hashem will bring you back. But it's a mitzvah. And this is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the Sharei Tshuva, writes that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. And what's the mitzvah to do tshuva? What it says over here in the verse, V'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, you should return to Hashem your God and listen to His voice, like everything that I'm commanding you today. It's a mitzvah, a commandment to do tshuva. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, that the Nevi'im and everybody prophesied that the Jewish people would do tshuva, and we say, Hashem already promised them the tshuva, and He brings this pasuk. V'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. Pasuk says here, you're going to do tshuva, you're going to return to Hashem your God, and then Hashem will redeem you. It's telling you that it's going to happen. The Ramban says, it's both. The pasuk is saying it in an ambiguous form, right? You shall do this. It can be saying, I'm telling you, you shall do this, or I'm telling you, you should do this. Right? You will, or you should. The term, it can mean both. And it's saying it that way, because on the one hand, it's giving you the mitzvah of tshuva, which the Pasuk later goes on, as Ramban says, to elaborate and to say, oh, this mitzvah, which he understands is referring to tshuva, it's not far away from you, it's not remote, it's not in the heavens, it's not overseas, it's very close to you, it's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. What's it saying? A person might say, oh, you know, here I am, I'm in some far-flung land, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael, can I really return to Hashem? Can I really reconnect to Hashem? So it says anywhere, if you have your mouth and your heart, you have your heart for regret, and you have your mouth to say vidui, to confess and to plead with Hashem, you're able to do it. You've got all that you need. You've got all that you need to be able to do tshuva. So it's the mitzvah of tshuva. V'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. Do tshuva to Hashem. That's the way he understands it. But he says, but the pasuk says it in a form which is also narrative, to say that don't worry, Kol Yisrael will eventually do tshuva. There's a haftacha, there's a promise that's in place that the Jewish people will do tshuva. It's a remarkable thing. How do you have a promise that the Jewish people will do tshuva? So we explain that the idea is because it's tshuva. Tshuva means return. Tshuva means to come back. It doesn't mean to improve. It doesn't mean to set the bar higher. It means to come back, which means that we understand that there's a place where we naturally were, where we were originally. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tohorahi, my God, the soul that you placed in me is tohor, is pure. And that's the natural state of that neshama, and its natural state is to do the right thing and to be connected to all the right things. So we have this natural inside of us intuition of the right thing to do. But however, what happens in life is that we get caught up in all kinds of distractions, all kinds of pulls and tugs, and we end up moving off of the base, moving away from it. So tshuva is to come back to what's our normal state. That's what the Maharal is saying over here. Maharal is saying, of course Golus ends, because Golus is a product of Chet, and Chet ends. Why does Chet end? Because, you know, you can do something which is unnatural and wrong and not fitting for you for a while, but eventually, you're going to just come back. Eventually, you're going to come back. That's what that's what we have over here. You know, there's a beautiful Rambam, very famous Rambam, that is just really an expansion on a Gemara, where the Gemara says, where there's a notion of kaifin isay achayema reitza ani, where we say we force the person to give a get. Certain circumstances where a person could be coerced to give a get. Ah, but a get is supposed to be given voluntarily. You force him until he says, okay, I volunteer to do it. So what kind of a legal fiction is that? So the Rambam explains, we only call a person forced if he's being forced to do something that Torah doesn't obligate him to do. But a person who was actually being forced by his evil inclination to go against the mitzvah or to do an avera, and he got hit until he stopped doing something that he was not supposed to do, or started doing something which he was supposed to do, you're not called that you're forcing him. Previously, when he wasn't doing it, these forces were forcing him away from that which he naturally wanted to do. So this one, this person who it seemed didn't want to give a get, but at his core he wants to be a Jew, he wants to do the mitzvahs, he wants to be distanced from the averes. It's just that something came into him, something came over him. Once you get the yeter out of the way, then his true desire comes through. And this is a beautiful concept, and a very, very important one, that at the core, everyone, every Jew is connected to want to do the right thing. And when we don't do it, we're in an unnatural place. We're in an unnatural environment. And sometimes, what seems like coercion is actually bringing back the person to that which is natural and instinctive and the way it's supposed to be. Says the Maharal, that's why you have to understand that chet can't persist, because it's unnatural. Because the person will always feel, therefore, pangs. They know what they need to do. We know what we need to do. We want what we're supposed to do. And therefore, it's not going to be something which is constant, which is persistent. I want to just share with you an amazing Rashi. I shared this last night. Just amazing Rashi. It's on a pasuk in last week's Parsha, but it's not a Rashi in Chumash. It's a Rashi in Sanhedrin.
Yisrael, but not Yisrael,
what's that?
Yisurim, but not Yisurim Yahava, is that also a conversion, so to speak, to do the right thing?
Some degree, yeah. The Pasuk, in yesterday's Parsha, a Pasuk which opens itself up to all kinds of Perushim, it speaks about the person who listens to all this going on and all the covenants and all the things which are spelled out. And he says, to himself, Bilvavei Lemar, I'll be okay. You know, I'm just going to ignore all this stuff, but I'm sure I'll be fine. None of this is going to hit me. So it says Hashem will not agree to forgive him. Then Hashem's going to be angry and all the curses will do it, will go against him, as it says. And it says, Leman Sifois HaRava Es Hatzmeah, to attach the Rava, which is basically the satiated, or indeed the intoxicated, with the Tzmeya, with the thirsty. What does that mean? So Rashi and Chumash has a pshat that it's referring to sins which are done when a person is doing it by mistake, as opposed to sins which are done when a person is doing it on purpose. You know, if a person, normally Hashem might not punish so much for mistakes, but if the person is being so devious and saying, you know, nothing's going to happen, and so on and so forth, then Hashem might hold him responsible, not only for the things which he does with thirst, which means things which he does with intent, but even for things which he does when he's sort of like intoxicated, which he does unintended. That's the Rashi and Chumash. The Gemara, however, says that the issue here is putting together, either literally putting together or equating, two things that don't match: the thirsty and the satiated. What does that mean? So the Gemara lists three things that would constitute this kind of a failure. Two of them are a mismatch in a shidduch, where you would marry off somebody who's very old to somebody who's very young. A very older man with a very younger woman, or a very older woman with a very younger man. What's the idea? One of them is tzmeya, one of them is thirsty, youthful, vibrant, you know, life ahead of them. And the other one is rava, is sort of filled, you know, sort of has been there, done that, been through all of these things. So it's not a good match. To put those two together is not a good idea. Then the Gemara says a third thing, and says that it's referring to an equation between Jews and non-Jews. Putting together, lumping together Jews and non-Jews. It says it with the halacha, for instance, of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, so you know, you return a lost object. If those of you who learned with us Be'er HaGoyla, remember the Rambam, we had a shir on this din, right, where we spoke about Hashavas Aveda Lakum. The din of Hashavas Aveda, Hashav Teshivim L'Achicha, to your brother. There's no obligation of Hashavas Aveda to an Akum. If a person wants to return it to an Akum because of Kiddush Hashem, they may do so. However, it's not because, the rights, the same thing. Lost object, give it back. Jew, non-Jew, what's the difference? So Maral explained over there details which are not so much our issue right now, but he explains that, you know, Hashavas Aveda is not the idea that the person has rights for their property. When a person loses it and becomes disconnected from the object, so technically speaking, it's removed from them. It's removed from them. However, the Torah says, for Yisrael, we're giving you a proactive mitzvah to your brother to restore it to him, to make sure that he gets it back, to make sure that he should have it. The mitzvah applies to a Jew. It doesn't necessarily apply to an Akum. It doesn't apply to an Akum. So some might say, come on, Jew, Akum, same. Says the Gemara, you're putting together the thirsty with the satiated. It's not the same. Person has to understand that there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol ben erlo choshech ben yisrael amen. There's a difference. But one person's supposed to be rachma al kamas, we're supposed to be merciful and compassionate and everything else that we have. But nevertheless, don't equate. What does it mean, equating the thirsty with the not? I mean, you know, by the young woman and the old man, the young man and the old woman, you know, you understand what that means. What does it mean by a Jew and a non-Jew? So listen to Rashi. Rava, the full one, refers to the non-Jew. Why? Because they are satisfied in their life as it is, and they're not thirsty for their Creator. Tzmeya refers to Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. Shetzmeya uteeva, that they are thirsty and yearning liyiras yaiser l'kayim mitzvaysav, to the fear of their Creator and to fulfill his mitzvahs. A Jew is described as being thirsty. A Jew is described as looking for something. Tzama nafshi l'elikim l'kilchai. Short of finding that, he's always going to be thirsty. Right? Jews are chronically restless. Right? We look for things, and we're thirsty, and many times we go off in all kinds of directions. So we're going to be at the forefront of all kinds of movements of social change and ideological change and scientific change, because we're looking. But the thirst fundamentally is a thirst for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a difference that we say. That's part of Kali Yisrael. So understand what when the Maral says, Chet is not a natural state for the Jewish people. And therefore, necessarily, they will somehow come out of it. Right? They will somehow come out of it. That's not just the mitzvah of tshuva, but to some degree, that's the promise of tshuva. That's the promise of tshuva. Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, has a beautiful essay on this in the Ala Tshuva. They published some of his drushas on tshuva many, many, many years ago, one of the first sefarim which was published from him. He says it in a beautiful formulation. And this really leads us into the next piece, which is that he says, you know, we have the Teichacha that exists in two places. There's the curses, the warnings in Parshas Bechukosai, which we read before Shavuos, and the curses and the warnings in Parshas Kisavo, which we read eight days ago. Chazal tell us the first one, the Ramban brings the Midrashim, the first one was about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the second one was about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The first one, in the Parsha itself, before the Parsha concludes, it says, boy, I told you terrible stuff, but you should know that with all of this, v'afgam zayis b'yaysam b'eretzai v'hem, loy ma'astim v'loy gi'altim l'chalaysam l'havir b'risi itam, k'ani Hashem alekeim. With all of this, you should know, I'm not disdaining or rejecting them completely to destroy them. I am Hashem, their God. Right? V'zacharti es b'risi Yaakov, I'll remember my covenant with Yaakov, with Yitzchok. I'll remember Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry. In the end, somehow everything will be okay. However, Parshas Kisavo ends, at least the Tochacha, there's a little paragraph at the end of the Parsha with us being sold down the river to the Egyptians, and nobody's going to want to buy us. It ends with all absolute negativity. What's going on? So, in the Rishonim, we find already that the happy ending is postponed for what we read yesterday in Parshas Nitzavim. When all these things come upon you, it's postponed for there. There it says, Hashem will bring you back from all the four corners of the earth, and so on and so forth. But what's the thing? The first time it says, with all this I won't disdain you. It doesn't describe any tshuva. However, this time, number one, it leaves it dangling. And number two, it says, you'll do tshuva and then you'll come back. You'll do tshuva and then you'll come back. So, what's the difference? First of all, remember the first Beis HaMikdash, it was short. It was 70 years of Golos, and then we came back. You know, pretty much the Gula was built right in. And it didn't require tshuva. It didn't require tshuva. But the second Gula is not short. You gotta wait a week. More than a week. And it requires tshuva. It requires tshuva. He'll do tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them back. And this is a discussion in the Gemara, which we're going to touch upon in Mirtz Hashem briefly. So asked Rav Yosha Ber, I don't understand. Ani mamin b'emuna shlema, I believe with a complete belief, b'vias HaMashiach, the Mashiach will come, that we're going to be redeemed from this galus. I don't understand. It requires the Jewish people to do tshuva. So what are you going to say? Well, tshuva is inevitable. Kal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. There's a promise that Kal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. So he says, belief in the coming of Mashiach, it's not just belief in Hashem. Belief in the coming of Mashiach is belief in Kal Yisrael. You have to have faith in the Jewish people, that the Jewish people will do tshuva, that the Jewish people will come back. Because you can't have Gula without the Jewish people coming back.
Huh? It could be by force.
Okay. It could be by force, but they still have to react to the force with tshuva. Could still, we'll learn the Gemara in a minute, but they still have to react to the force with tshuva. So there's an emuna in Knesset Yisrael that Kal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. It's a beautiful formulation to understand, to have confidence that a Jew has at his core that he's going to do tshuva, so much so that it's such an unnatural state for him without it, that Hiftichanu Torah Saif Yisrael Asas Tshuva. Chet is unnatural state for a Jew. So we won't, right? We look for heaven, right? Rosh Hashanah, we're thinking about din, we're looking for tshuva. But of course, in life, always we're looking for happiness and satisfaction. Here we see that we'll never have it without tshuva. There'll be this abiding thirst that we have, that just, parched mouth, the spiritual equivalent without somehow reconnecting.
Tshuva is inevitable, then Mashiach is inevitable because...
Correct. That's right. We know Mashiach is inevitable. We believe in the coming of Mashiach. It's certainly going to come. But it requires tshuva. That tells you that tshuva is inevitable. That tells you you have to have confidence in the Jewish people, that the Jewish people can come back, will come back. Okay. Now, as you mentioned, the truth is that there's a machlekes. The Gemara says as follows. Omar Rav, kolu kol akitzin, ve'en adavar tolu yelo b'tshuva. All of those junctures in time, all of those dates when the Gula should come, they've all come and gone. What we're waiting for at this point in time is only one thing. And what's that? Tshuva. Masim Tovim. We need the Jewish people to tshuva Masim Tovim in order to precipitate the Gula. Ushmuel Amar, but Shmuel said, Daye le'ovel shiyamiv be'evloi. He says, well, what are you talking about? The Ovel can't stay in his situation of grief all the time. Avelus, grieving, almost by definition, needs to be a temporary situation. Right? Person's not supposed to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this thing, that a person's grief ends. We have Yaakovin, whose grief never ended. But an Avel is a situation of transition. Lost one thing, has to adjust to it. So Klal Yisrael will be in Golus for a time. But Dai Lovel Shiyamin Medley, it can't last forever. So he seems to be saying that, come on, right? You don't need tshuva. It's just going to end. And the Gemara says, Kitanoi. It's a machlekes tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer. Im Yisrael eisen tshuva nigolim, v'imlavei nigolim. If the Jewish people do tshuva, they'll be redeemed. But if not, they won't be redeemed. They have to initiate tshuva. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, im ein eisen tshuva ein nigolim. If they don't do tshuva, they're not redeemed. It's not possible. The Gula has to come. Ela Kodesh Baruch Hu Mamid Len Melech Shegzeiraisav Kashais Kahaman Yisrael Eisen Shuvah Machzirin Lamutav. Hashem will put upon them a king whose decrees are as tough as those of Haman, and then Klal Yisrael will do tshuva as they did in the time of Haman, and then Hashem will redeem them. So it's what he's saying is, yeah, the Jewish people will do tshuva, but it's not that Geula will be precipitated by the Jewish people doing tshuva. Tshuva will be precipitated by the desire to bring the Geula. Hashem will want to bring the Geula. He'll bring a situation which will call the Jewish people to do tshuva. Tshuva mitaych tzara, from difficulty. As the Gemara says, gadayla hasaras tabas mimemches neviim unevios. That the removal of the ring from Achashverosh's finger did more to get the Jewish people to do tshuva than all the prophets that stood up and told them and exhorted them and rebuked them. That didn't get us to do tshuva. But the threat that was there implicit in the removal of the ring, that did it. That got us to do tshuva. So it's a very interesting machlekes. Again, some would say maybe even without tshuva at all. Gemara doesn't accept that. It seems certainly at least in Rav Yeshua's formulation. So we end up with these two things. Klal Yisrael has to do tshuva. It may be a tshuva that will be stimulated from within. Maybe because, this thing, the Klal Yisrael is thirsty for something good, for something special. Or a tshuva which is stimulated from without, by a threat. By a threat. Sorry, I'm going to review, but I want to just tell you over, those of you who weren't here, this beautiful classic Hasidic Shavart, which I shared yesterday morning. Sorry, this is like a greatest hits album or something. we had the end of the parsha yesterday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Behold, I'm placing before you life and good, and death and bad. Chayim v'tayv mavas and ra, and you should choose life, right, so that you and your children will live." know, shkoyach. You know, that I really needed that advice. You know, so Rashi says, you know, it's still like the person gives them, shows them what he wants them to take. So there are those who say like this. Beautiful. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I'm placing before you life and death. Both of them are there as motivations for you to do the right thing. You can do the right thing because you say, wow, this is the life. This is what it means. That this is be all I can be. This is the divine image that I can realize through choosing this path. It's full, it's wonderful, it's good, it's joyous, it's fantastic. And then there's the other possibility, which is, oh boy, if I don't do this, you know what is going to break loose. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I've put before you both things. I put before you life and good. I've told you do the Torah. It's just the most wonderful thing in the world. And I've also told you that if you don't, there's death and there's negative. Both of them are the paths, or not the paths, but the ways of getting people to do things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want continuity, choose life. Do it because of the positive. Do it because you see what's in it, because you're excited about it. If you're doing it because of a threat, so then, okay, so maybe you'll get through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, the heat's on, you know, the market is crashing, heaven forbid, or something like that, and you know, oh gosh, you got to do tshuva. But then, you know, things settle out a little bit. The only reason why you were doing this is because of a looming threat, so forget about it. It's like, you said, like the 90% of cardiac patients who go in for an angioplasty or for a bypass, and the doctor says, look, you know, we can fix the plumbing today, but if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to be back here. Right? You got to change your lifestyle. You got to exercise. You got to eat differently. You got to do things differently. And otherwise, you're going to be dead. You're going to be dead. I can't keep doing this. It's not going to work. And they go out of there, and they're committed, and a year later, 90% are doing exactly what they were doing before the first surgery. So statistical fact, reality. Why? Because when you tell somebody, do this or else, they have an attention span. We have an attention span for a very short time. But when you give somebody something rich and positive to connect to latch onto, when you don't just tell them you need to exercise, but you know, you somehow hook him up with a chevra, you know, that does this, and he becomes part of a group that enjoys it, and it becomes part of his social life, and you know, he starts enjoying the healthy foods instead of just not having hamburgers, but somehow he develops a real taste for salad, you know, or something, you know, like that. So then, right? So then, now he can continue because he's developed new tastes. So you say, choose life so that it'll stick with you, it'll stick with your children. Because then you like it. Then you're not just doing it because of a looming threat, because of Mavis and Ra, because of the death and the evil which waits for you. So this is what the Gemara says. This is the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says the Geula will come when Klal Yisrael chooses life. When the thirst of Klal Yisrael finds what it is thirsty for and latches onto it and does it and becomes connected. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, not necessarily. It might happen only. We're not going to wait necessarily for Klal Yisrael to be stimulated. When the time comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them death, the threat of death, and they'll do tshuva, and then Hashem is going to give them the geula. Those are the two alternatives. Those are the two possibilities. So I want to tell you something gewaldic, remarkable. I think it's remarkable. It's a verse from Rav Tzadok. When you hear it, you see it is just as obvious as anything. It's just such an obvious word, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure many others say it too. I saw once in Rav Tzadok, but it's just so obvious and beautiful.
Rav
Tzadok HaKohen? Yeah. Tanya, this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dafyud on the base. Rabbi Yezer Aimer, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'ilam, B'tishrei Neldu Avais, B'tishrei Mesu Avais. Says that the world was created in Tishrei, and a lot of other important things of creation happened in Tishrei. Tishrei is when the Avais were born, when they died. Yitzchak was born on Pesach, or Shana, this happened, that happened. And he says, B'nisan nigalu, from Mitzrayim we were redeemed in Nisan. But B'tishrei asidin ligoyel, the Geula Achrayna is going to come in Tishrei. Rav Yeshua says, B'nisan nivraylam, the world was created in Nisan. Benisan Aldu Aves, Benisan Mesu Aves, Benisan the Aves were born, and Benisan the Aves died, and Pesach, and so on and so forth. Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidin Ligoil. Benisan we were redeemed, and Benisan will be redeemed in the future. So just internally you look at it and you say, okay, this one holds the world was created in Tishrei, and the redemption, which is the completion of the world, will come in Tishrei. This one says the world was created in Nisan, and the redemption, the completion of the world, will also come in Nisan. Right? Neat. But this is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. They're the same ones who are arguing in this Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's the argument? Rabbi Eliezer says the world will only be redeemed when Klal Yisrael is inspired to do tshuva. Rabbi Yeshua says, nah, Hashem is going to choose the time to redeem them, and he's going to redeem them. They need to do tshuva. So, okay, so the threat will make them do tshuva. But it'll be Hashem's initiative. So which time of year is which?
When the sun is increasing at the equinox near Pesach.
So that's it. Is Okay.
So you can look at the solar calendar. You can talk about Ba'ava versus Ba'ira. But what Rav Tzadik says is like this. Yitzias Mitzrayim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down to pull the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I made a covenant with the Avos. The Nisan Eldu Avos, you know. The Avos were born in Nisan. Hashem made a covenant with the Avos. And now he's coming, he's pulling us out. He did it. So yes, it's true to some degree. Then when he was about to pull us out, he said, bring a Korban Pesach, so you'll do a mitzvah, you'll have a bris milah, you know, sort of force the issue, get them to do it. Okay, fine, now I'll take you out, you know, just tell them, this is what I'm going to do. They should do a couple of actions, you know, get themselves in shape so that it's explainable that I'm doing it. But fundamentally, it's what's called Isarusa de la Ela. It comes from above, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Tishrei, we don't celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu swooping down and picking us up. In Tishrei, the Yontav of Tishrei is all about tshuva, 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 tshuva. It's about tshuva. Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Eliezer says, that the world was created in Tishrei. The world was created in Tishrei, and the world is going to be redeemed in Tishrei. And therefore, there, Tishrei is milatata. Tishrei is where we have to start, where the tshuva comes from us. Right? We go through Aser Simei tshuva, and then, you know, Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to some degree gives us the redemption of Yom Kippur, followed by the Simcha of the redemption of Sukkot. It's from us, as opposed to from above. Rabbi Eliezer, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, it's contingent on us being stimulated to tshuva, so to speak, internally. But Nisan is, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just taking us out. It's from above. That's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. That, so to speak, whether we're ready or not, here he comes. He's going to do it for us. So it's true what you say, which is that there's a perspective that says that Nisan is tshuva me'ava, tshuva out of love, and because we're doing it with the richness of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Tishrei is tshuva me'ira because of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, the din that's standing over us, and so on and so forth. But there's an aspect of it that Nisan is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu just swooping in and taking us out. And the 15th of Tishrei, as opposed to the 15th of Nisan, both of them are celebrations to some degree of what Hashem did for us when He took us out of Mitzrayim, right? Sukkot is when He took us out of Mitzrayim, Pesach is when He took us out of Mitzrayim. But we have 10 days of repentance before Sukkot. 10 days of repentance before Sukkot. There's a lot that we have to somehow generate within ourselves. Luckily, even when it's within ourselves, it's because to some degree part of our program is that we know what we're supposed to do, that we're thirsty for what it is that's important, that's needed. But that's very much the avira. It's got to come from below. And ideally, it's this is Rabbi Eliezer's month. Rabbi Eliezer's month is uvacharta b'chayim, is that it's not because Hashem put upon you a king as vicious as Achashverosh, a minister as vicious as Haman, a melech kasha kahaman, but because l'charta b'chaim, like we just read before Rosh Hashanah, l'charta b'chaim.
What's the machloket between these two? What's the bottom line machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua?
What's the bottom line machloket?
Yeah.
Is it going to be initiated by Klal Yisrael, or is it going to be only the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to bring circumstances that are going to force Klal Yisrael to do it?
If that's an initiated by Klal Yisrael, for sure would not happen according to Rabbi Eliezer?
According to Rabbi Eliezer, if it wouldn't be initiated by Klal Yisrael, it wouldn't happen. But it will happen. It will be initiated by Klal Yisrael at some point in time. There is a Haftacha. But it's not going to be through something forced. It's going to be self-generated. Okay. Have a good gesund Jahr. Siva Chsima Teva and Hatzlacha. And Bechira B'chaim. That should be fine. It's a normal day. I have a serious make sure about maybe a few minutes later than 8:30. So that should be okay.
You don't
need to be okay. The Sunday after, I'm not sure. I have to see if I might have to be involved with the Lulav Minasragin. I'm not sure.
You don't really hear in the Tanya that Rabbi Yehuda says if they do.